Steve and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, Entertaining Land Investment Talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about how there's no such thing as a failed mailer.
What?
Yep.
What?
Well, I really think this taps into a lot of people's concern about their capability of pricing mailers and failing and things that there's all kinds of things that can happen after you send a mailer out. I've only ever had positive experiences, including, you know, wow, nothing really came from that, but I know I'm never going to mail that state again.
Oh, that's a positive too. We did that just recently.
That's what I'm saying. We'll talk about it in a second.
Okay.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
David asks, "Hey all, I was wondering what key metrics you all find most important and are useful to monitor in running your land business for acquisitions, sales, profitability, whatever you think are the most important ones. Thanks very much." I know mine is.
Go ahead.
"I monitor our bank balance."
You know what? I used to do that way before you.
I do.
I think that's dangerous, but...
I know. But I do know if it's going in the right direction or not.
I was fully prepared, and I'm going to answer the question the way I was going to answer it anyway. But I didn't, you know, how much money I make. That, you know, I have an accounting background, so I tend to complicate things. Yeah. Just like, yeah, there's a lot of money in there.
Yeah, it's fine.
More than yesterday.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to go have some fun now.
Exactly. I think we're doing okay.
In this business, like a lot of businesses, but in particular this business, for some reason there's this relationship between how much cash you have, like Jill said, and how much real estate you have, and they're constantly going up and down. You know, what's the value? So here I'll answer your question, David. I look at the number of properties that we own, whether based on have we spent the money on them. So if they're in escrow and we've already purchased them, but they're not yet purchased, so there's cash that's out. So how much cash is out and what's the value, the sale value of the real estate that we own? So right now Jill and I own literally about $2 million worth of, this is sale value of property. And we have generated this year so far, I don't know what the numbers are, it doesn't matter, a lot, millions of dollars in sales, sold property, and how much money did we make on it? But I really, really focus, hyper focus, if I'm in a hurry, I'll only look at one thing. How much property, what's the sale value, or the wholesale value of the property that we have already paid for? And then I can sleep at night. Because I know there's $1 million worth of property in there. It's constantly being cycled through. And then secondarily, I look at what's under contract. And which means in layman's terms, that pipeline's jammed full enough so that we got $1 million of for sale property. We've got a couple $1 million of property that's being worked on. Not all of it's going to close for a lot of reasons. I'm sleeping good. What I don't look at, and I probably should after Jill just made that comment, is how much cash that we have in reserves, or, you know, I'm not happy when there's too much cash. I don't think we're doing our job.
That's true. But I do keep track of that. On the first of the month, I write it down. What I don't look at is, I look at the big picture. I don't look at the number. Like, I don't have a bottom number, like I have to buy 10. I have to buy the good ones.
Yes, that's what I...
So I don't track that.
And I don't track acres, do you?
No, I don't track care about acres. That
at all. It's in there.
I don't track...
If I wanted to look it up, I could tell you right now. Because the system's built for all that, but I don't look at it.
And I don't track things like the price per acre purchase.
Neither
and
do
the
I.
price per acre sold. I don't track any of that. I don't track...
I don't track...
Views.
Profitability.
I don't track... You know, like on some sites you can see who likes things or they save them or something. I don't track that stuff, you know, on a property, because it only takes one.
I'll tell you, I used to track all of that in a daily report long before Jill. You know, we have a version of a daily report now, but technology is different, so it's a lot easier to get data. When I began, I had a whole dashboard really, but now there's a lot of assumptions, correct assumptions that I make between the two of us and how we run stuff. If we're buying a piece of property, it's a badass piece of property. Like, right. I know we're going to make, and I know it's going to sell fast because Jill doesn't buy junk. She just doesn't. So I don't check profitability or access or any of that. I really look at, is the pipeline jammed full enough? If it's not, then I go back into my own corner and say, okay, then I need to send out some more mail or I need to do something to jam her pipeline full because that's my job.
Well, this ties into this. What we do track, David, and you should keep an eye on for sure is, are people sitting around with nothing to do? They need to up the mail volume. Or are they overwhelmed? You need to hire more kind of thing. That's even, you know, and be thinking about ways to be more efficient as well. That kind of stuff. How much time, honestly, time is an important thing to keep track of, even mine and yours. Mm-hmm. So good questions, though.
Great question. Mm-hmm. David, I know because I just did this this morning, is not a member. And so this is the kind of question. I've never answered this question before, ever, in the 5 years that we've been doing this. And this is an incredibly intelligent. I can tell in your soul you want to get the metrics to be fed back to you so you can make decisions. That's what reports are for. Reports aren't, people don't understand. Most of the people that are in business don't understand that. They think that reports are there to punish them. I have to do a bunch of reports. And then I have to give it to the person above me, and they don't read it anyway. You ask anybody who does it. Right. I believe that people should get reports, not do them. The way that technology is, we get all the data we need without any real input. Mm-hmm. So, and then at some point, theoretically, the person that is working, let's say a transaction coordinator, is going to start to look at that data and make some consciously or subconsciously make some decisions on their own. Because you'll see
trends.
Yes,
on their own. Trends will pop up.
And they're going to say, yeah, I mean, these guys aren't going to go for this deal. And they'll start flagging them. And that's how you get promoted. Mm-hmm.
I would pay attention to, though, one of the things I would track is try to find out as best you can where your sales are coming from and then redo that. You know, if you're finding it mostly Facebook and Instagram, not so much
MLS.
Twitter, MLS, whatever.
One broker.
Those little things like that I do try to, and I don't, it's not hardcore tracking, but I try to find out and make note of that. So I go, all right, I need to do more of that. So those are the obvious things. I guess my point is there's going to be a few things that are blatantly obvious. You know, I need to keep an eye on this. This is important. I see where it's going.
We used Airtable as a CRM that has, and the way that we set it up is with summaries and every section's, you know, we're looking at the acquisition. It got flagged for an acquisition. Yes, I want to do it. Jill and I both agreed that we want to do it. Great, it's in the engineering stage. Great, it's in the sold stage. So all the properties that are in those subcategories, there's about six categories that we use. It gets all summarized. So I can tell you within seconds how much we have under contract, what the price per acre is, what the totals are. So if you're going to set up your CRM, make sure it totals everything so you can see it, all that data. Mm-hmm. And then you can, it's very easy to automate it where you get an email in the morning that says, here's the deal.
Cool.
Today's topic, there's no such thing as a failed mailer. This is why you're listening. This topic came up because Jill had a consulting call with somebody and they said some version of this. I'm gonna buy this very specific type of property. It needs to make net this amount of money and I wanna sell it fast. And so to do that, he's talking to himself now, to do that, I know I need to send out 25,000 mailers I guess it was 20,000 mailers. And he's going to make $100,000 on a property. So what's the cost of 20,000 mailers? So by anybody's gauge, sending out 20,000 mailers is a lot. It's a lot of work. But it's only one property that you're looking for.
$10,000.
It costs about $10,000 to do a 20,000 unit mailer to make $100,000. Mm-hmm. Is that a failed mailer?
No, that's not a failed mailer.
If you send out a mailer, and you weren't really prepared, but you really just wanted to baptism by fire it, and you have a job, and you get 42 calls, and none of them you could answer because you're at work, and nobody left a message. there's 42 calls with 42 caller IDs on the number that you set up. Is that a failed mailer?
No.
Well, you didn't buy any property.
You didn't call them back. You didn't have somebody to answer the phone.
You failed the mailer, not the other way around.
Yeah, the mailer didn't fail. You failed.
You failed the mailer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Keep going. Ask more. I like this game.
I'm prepping my thought here to make it super clear.
Okay.
Because Jill and I, this is our life at Land Academy. I sent out 2,200 units in one zip code. I got 42 calls back. I got 42 calls back. I had 8 conversations. Because I only, on the weekend, I answered the phone and had 8 conversations. 6 of them I really got yelled at. I got called words that I didn't even, I wasn't called since I was a kid by my parents. And I got 2 signed purchase agreements back that I haven't looked at yet. I think one of them's going to be okay, but I haven't decided yet. Is that a failed mailer?
No.
These are all real stories. Mm-hmm. These are all real. You know, it's not as prevalent as I'm saying, but these are, there's people listening to this, whether they're, maybe they're members, maybe they're not. This is their life right now. They're right in this situation and they're saying this doesn't work.
Right. We did one a while back with a couple of guys, I don't know if they're related. I think they were brothers. I don't know. But they were thinking that they had a failed mailer, and it was a consulting call. I said, we were both on it. I said, show it to us, please. And they screen shared their spreadsheet. And we're like, what about that one? And what about that one? And what about that one? And we talked to them, like, oh. They were and it wasn't a failed mailer. They were just a little too picky. I'm like, this is a great deal. I don't understand. What am I missing here? Like, oh, I guess it is. You know, so, and I think it's just experience. You have to dig in there. And that's the value of the Thursday calls. If you're really not sure and you really... You know, when you're in that situation, you're staring at them going, oh, like you're new. I got these back. I got 2 signed purchase agreements. I'm not sure. Usually, if you have your checklist that we help you with and you know what to do, you know what you're looking at, you're doing due diligence. If it checks all the boxes and you're going, uh-oh, I think this is a great one, most likely it is, and you need to pull the trigger. If you're really, really, really not sure, there's something about it, I don't know about the access, I'm not sure if I have enough, if I'm looking at this right price-wise or something, that's why we're here to answer these questions. I'm not sure where I was going with that.
What happens on a Thursday call very often is somebody will say, I bought this property or I'm thinking about buying this property. And they said, would you do this deal? And right. It comes up and it's usually happens with really expensive properties. And, you know, after it gets presented and Jill and I look at it and we all talk about it, our answer is, this is a lot of money, but it looks like an incredible deal. I don't feel like I'm qualified enough because of the price of the property to say yes or no, you should do the deal. And invariably, people in the chat say, this is right around the corner for me. I've done 10 of these deals. People we've never heard of that have been lurking on the show on the Thursday call forever. Please give me a call and I think we can probably do this deal together. So if you're sending out mail in some crazy place that, you know, you live in Chicago and you're sending it out in Montana or something, there's gonna be somebody or a group of people in Montana that are in our group that are gonna see something in properties that you are gonna promptly turn down as they come in. So here's my big picture point after being kind of pissy about this, and intentionally so. You have to work this. If you're not gonna put the time and the energy in, it's not gonna come back correctly, mm-hmm. and you're not gonna do deals. There was a time when we started Land Academy that the prevalence of transactions was so great, and this is before Jill, this is long before I ever met Jill, that I only did transactions where I received the purchase agreement, I checked it, it worked, and that was it. Because we were getting 10 or 20 of those in a day.
Right. Because nobody was doing anything.
That's right.
And it was so new.
And well, and no one had out ever.
Well, I would argue no one else had a way to sell their property too, by the way. There was not a flat rate MLS. There was not there were not a lot of land brokers. They would only call the real estate agents that they knew, and they were just doing houses. They don't know how to do land. So a lot of, there was no other way to sell land.
Right.
That was back in 1920 when you started. Just kidding. I'm joking. You do a lot of before Jill. I'm like, what's with all the before Jill?
Because it was wrong.
Okay.
Every time I say before Jill, it's like, oh, well, now there's Jill, and now I learned the right way to do it. I mean, Jill and I joined forces at the same time the internet became relatively prevalent.
I have a couple things I would like to share. This topic gets me mad.
Me too.
Because I don't think that this is possible. And here is why. We all know what a perfect mailer is, and if you don't, I'll tell you real quick. A perfect mailer is, you priced it great, you have a 2 days of getting yelled at, big deal. And of those 2 days you're getting yelled at, you're quick on the phone, you're saying, hey, if I added three zeros based on what you said, I screwed up, do you even want to sell? And they're gonna go, hell no. Well, and it's not a seller anyway, they just wanted to, you know, be mad about it. Who cares? There might be a few in there. That's what I do. You don't have to, but I try to see if there's a few in there to work those deals, and sometimes it works out great. Doesn't matter. A couple days of hate. Then after that, it takes a few more days. It's like there's almost like a lull, and then here comes the real guys, because the real people open it up, put it on the dining room table, or they stick it on a magnet on the fridge, and they think about it. They're thinking about it. They're calling the kids, they're sleeping on it, they're talking to their wife, and then they're gonna reach back out to you. And that's the juice. But sometimes it's way later too. I just had someone laying in bed reading this morning about a girl said, you know, I can't believe it. I just had someone, hey everybody, don't poo-poo your mailer. I just had one come back from February and it's a fantastic property, I'm gonna buy it. I personally had one, by the way, I didn't tell you this, it's a property I don't want. But a guy came back and said, because we were talking in August, I went back and looked, I'm like, oh my gosh. I gave him my highest best offer in August, and he said, that doesn't work for me. And I said, okay, I understand that. He just came back now in December and said, would you reconsider your
Why August? Don't you want to buy it?
Because it's a state that where I'm not real it's just one area that I'm like, shucks. I wasn't sure about movement in the area, and now since August, and now there really isn't any movement in the area. I really looked it up, and I don't want to insult the guy and say, well, and I kind of did. I said, you know what? Actually, I went back to him and said, I'm not interested in that price anymore, and here's the reasons why. I gave him some comps. I really did. Mm-hmm. I said the price I would be interested is about half of my highest and best. I'm not kidding.
Jesus,
no, Jill. I'm serious. And he's an attorney. I'm like, I feel that soil. He's an attorney. Because it says, you know, it's John Wilson Attorney and Law Group. And I'm like, I'm sorry, Mr. Wilson, but, and I gave valid reasons. I'm a professional. He's a professional.
Yeah.
And I could say, here's the deal. I looked up in your area, this is how many are available. Just what I could just have. Brief overview, what I could find, doing a few minutes of research. This is how many are available. This is how many have sold in the last 12 months. And why I can't justify this price. You can't argue with that.
Because he's in, facts, you know, man. He's living that right now.
Yeah,
too.
He knows it.
He knows it. He's trying to sell it.
He can't sell it.
So we don't want that job.
No, that's my point. So my highest and best back then is now half. And I very politely said it. And he replied, thank you. I understand. I appreciate it. You know, I wish you all the best. You have to be
that's
that
how
way.
It should go. Just
exactly.
Like that.
Exactly. So this is the kind of communication you should be having on all of your mailers. So those are some good stories. But what I want to share is you did it all wrong. I have story after story
Me
after
too.
Story. And you, we do, of members that said, holy cow, I added.
Personal stories of doing it all wrong.
I priced these so wrong that everybody called me back. Uh-oh, that was a mistake. You know what? It's still not a failed mailer. You could do what I just did with this guy. There's a way to politely say, shucks, I thought it had A, B, C, and D, and now I find out it only has A. So, I am still interested in your property, but because it doesn't have these other three things, this is the best I can do. So that's not a failed mailer. You came in and offered too much, that's how you solve it. Now the flip side. You went in, you accidentally sent an offer out for $2 to the planet. How do you solve that one? Everybody hates you. Will you do what I just said on a few minutes ago, which is they call you back, they're hating you because you sent an offer for $2 and you meant to put $2,000. Because it really was a typo. Maybe it was a typo. You're not a bad person. You're not trying to do that. Yeah. So you say, okay, number one, I'd fire that person if I could, but they're me. Make a joke out of it. Seriously. I clearly made a mistake. Please, do you want to sell? And let's talk about it. And let's get to the bottom of, okay, you do want to sell. What's the story? You know, find out more about the property. And you know, you can come back with a better offer, you know, come back with a real offer. Or my favorite is, look, here's how I operate. Here's what I do. Everybody has a bottom number. If you could walk away tomorrow with what number would make sense to you to have cash in your hand. And everybody says, all right. And the right people, they'll have a number in their head or they'll say, let me talk to my wife. I'll get right back to you. And it's going to be something usually reasonable. And if it's not reasonable, if they go do their research, sometimes I'll do their research and come back with a retail number. And I'm like, okay, that's not who I am. I wish you all the best. And like, I have a guy right now. This is exactly what's going on. It's all via email, by the way. He's like, I said, yeah, no. And he's like, whoa, hold on a moment. And I'm like, shoot. You know, you have to be careful because you don't want to get into a negotiating thing. So I'm going to give him, I may or may not, if I want it, give him one. Now I know where he thinks is it's valuable. My number's down here.
Is it way different?
Kind of. I mean, because they came back retail. I'm not retail. They will come back. That's like, that's what I want to sell it for. Not what I'm going to buy it for. That's not who I am. They didn't understand the exercise here.
When these properties come back and there's like a moment, it's maybe a second or two where you know you're going to buy it or you're not. And then 9 times out of 10, there's nothing that changes that. We're buying a portfolio property in a state right now. I can't wait till it closes. I can't wait. I'm sitting around saying every day, I'm like, and I know it's a process because there's a lot of stuff involved. It's a lot of property and there's just a lot of stuff involved. And I just like, and the second that deal came back, Jill and I were doing a dance.
Yeah.
Both of us without looking at each other or talking about it. And so if you send out enough mail, those are the types of deals that you want to do. Well, we're going to make $700,000 or $800,000 on that property, that portion of properties. And it will lead us into talking to the neighbors and buying a bunch of other property in a very localized area. So let's say I had 9 failed mailers where I didn't buy any property. Well, I failed the mailer, but for whatever reason. And then I did this one and I'm going to make $700,000 or $800,000. In less than 12 months, you That's average true. All that out, you just never fail. You never fail at this, never. Well,
and then again, I'll come back to, I would argue, for anyone who's been in our group and been doing this more than a year, you know, or you see things come back later, like, aha, how funny is that? I kicked that to the curb and I just got a signed purchase agreement with a loving note saying, are you still interested? It's the end of the year now, there's a life event. And I got it. I need to get rid of this. And you're the only person that expressed interest.
There's a county
section. Or I like you.
A section of a county in New Mexico, central New Mexico, that's got a ton of oil and gas wells on it. And I've mailed it by mistake a couple times in my career. And it comes back, a lot of stuff signed. And we do the research and I'm like, oh, I should have never done this again. You know, because we're just not oil and gas people. All the properties only can be used or should be used for with leases on it. And they come with leases. You know, it's profitable. That's not our thing. So was that a failed mailer? I don't think so. We didn't buy any property from it. We got a lot of signed purchase agreements back to which we send them to a specific person who I know buys property there. We don't even charge a finder's fee or anything. So was it failed? I don't think so.
Happy you could join us today. You can find us 5 days a week right here on the Land Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode on the Land Academy Show is called The Right Questions to Ask. You are not alone in your real estate ambition. The right class questions to ask.
Oh, I'm going to have a lot to say about that.
Let's just leave it
at that. I'm going to try not to get into it. Like, I'll try not to rant tomorrow, I promise.
I'll help you.
Okay. And thank you for tuning in, by the way. I hope you find our content valuable, and we appreciate your support. please check out our YouTube channel and hit the subscribe button.
And your comments and suggestions help us to create the type of content you're here for. Hitting the like button on your favorite episodes helps to support our channel's algorithm and gauge your interest for future shows.
We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.